Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March 29th. Good Friday to all of our friends in the audience. This is day number 88 of 2013, and today we're going to be speaking with a couple of ladies that we spoke with a few weeks ago, Carmencita Romanac and Carmen Valdivia, and these are two ladies in Miami who are involved with the Pedro Pan organization, and today we're going to be talking with them, and we're going to divide the show into a couple of parts. In the first part, we're going to be reminiscing about some of our memories, growing up in Cuba as much as we could remember, Holy Week, what we used to call Semana Santa in Cuba. And we'll be reminiscing some of the memories of what it used to be like. And then in the second segment, Carmen Valdivia, who was actually in one of the camps in Miami, is going to recollect and reminisce a little bit about what it was like to be a Pedro Pan young woman or a young man in one of those camps during Holy Week. So I think we've got a great show for you, reminiscing Semana Santa and remembering the great Holy Week, as we used to call it. It was a whole week in Cuba, as I used to call it. Started on Monday and went all the way up to Sunday. I think we had something just about every week, as I can remember. Just a quick update on the book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. It's available in print as well as Kindle. And I got to tell you, my son, our number one son, put together, I mean, he went in there and he redid this website. And this website looks great right now. We've got interviews, we've got reviews, we've got different ways of buying the book. I got to tell you, I'm so grateful that I have sons who understand technology. Otherwise, I have to have people do this for me, because I'm really ignorant when it comes to computers. But check out the website, Cubanos in Wisconsin. I think you're going to really like the website. It looks absolutely great. We're going to take a break. And we'll be back with Carmencita and with Carmen right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's say hello to our two ladies from Miami, Carmencita Romanac. How are you, Carmencita?
Hi, how are you, Silvio? Nice to be with you again.
Good Friday. Happy Good Friday to you. And Carmen Valdivia, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. Very nice to have both of you ladies back. I'd like to have each one of you ladies talk a little bit about yourselves. So, Carmencita, go first.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned in the other program, I'm the president of Operation Pedro Pan Group, which is a nonprofit organization created in 1991 by former Pedro Pan children. And we have threefold mission. One of them is, the first one is to sponsor and aid to promote programs for children in need, like we were when we came. And the second is to document our history for future generations and spread the knowledge of our Exodus. As you know, we were 14,000 children unaccompanied with our parents. So this is an important chapter of the history of Cuba and the United States. And third, to locate and reunite and bring together individuals who were part of this program. And we have a lot of activities. Every month we have an activity, a breakfast or lunch, and we have picnics and different activities. So that's what we do in a nutshell. So
okay.
I let Carmen talk about the historic part, because she's
okay.
the committee chair, the historic committee chair.
We're going to do that right now. Carmen Valdivia, tell us about yourself.
Okay. I am also a member of the board of directors of Operation Pedro Pan Group, Inc., and also the chairperson of the historic committee of the organization. And in the historic committee, what we're trying to do, I mean, it's a time in our life where we have to make sure that we leave our legacy, the legacy of our history, the way it happened, and that we make sure that the sacrifice that our parents and our heroes made is documented, and so that we leave it the way it happened and not the way that our detractors want to rewrite our history. So we're very busy with that. It's that time where we either do it now or it doesn't get recorded, and we're trying to get our memoirs and get everybody to do theirs, and we're interviewing the people and doing all kinds of presentations at colleges and places that kind of thing.
Absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I was telling you off the air that you run into Pedro Pan children everywhere. I was at a breakfast today, went to a presentation, and it so happens that the fellow who was speaking today was a Cuban gentleman who I've known here for about 25 years, and I didn't know he was Pedro Pan. And, you know, so I'm sitting, you know, when he was introduced by another Cuban friend as one of the Pedro Pan children, I looked at him and I said, I didn't know you were Pedro Pan. And now something you said the other day, Carmencita, may very well be the explanation. He may not know he was a Pedro Pan, but he was one of the children, if you know what I mean, because as you were explaining the last time, you know, the name Pedro Pan didn't happen until the 90s. So, you know, that may be the reason that he doesn't know he's Pedro Pan, but nevertheless he is Pedro Pan, if you know what I mean.
That's true, that's true. And also I mentioned to you, even one of my cousins, I didn't know he was a Pedro Pan.
Right.
I just found out maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So it happens all the time. If I knew Pedro Pan children, because we're still children, we consider ourselves children,
all the time.
That happens all the time. And especially sometimes with people who didn't go to the camps, you know, half of the children went directed to their families or relatives or neighbors. So they don't have this memory of going to a camp, and they think they were not a Pedro Pan. But
right.
If they came unaccompanied during that time period, that 22 months between October, December 1960 and October 62, unaccompanied, then they are Pedro Pan.
That's right. That's exactly right. Maybe this gentleman doesn't know that, but I intend to visit with him about Pedro Pan later. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about Pedro Pan and the Pedro Pan experience later. But right now, what I like to do is focus a little bit on your memories growing up in Cuba. It's all of us roughly left about the same age. I was 12 when I left, so I remember a few things. And I know it's impossible to ask a woman her age, but Carmencita, how old were you when you left?
I am very happy with my age, don't worry.
Okay, how old were you when you left?
Okay, I left when I was 15.
15.
So
Carmen,
I have,
how old were you when you left?
Memories. I was
Let's see, Carmen, how old were you?
I was 12 also.
12, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot you remember when you were 12 or 15. So what I remember, I'll kind of begin by reminiscing, and then we'll go to Carmencita and Carmen. What I remember about what we used to call Holy Week, which was the whole week, Semana Santa, was that we began on Monday, and Monday was literally called Lunes Santo, Holy Monday, mm-hmm. literally. And then the holiness would increase during the week. If you know what I mean? Every day it got more holy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then by Thursday it was pretty holy. And then by Friday, I don't know if you ladies remember this, but I remember my mother would tell us, you know, you're not supposed to go outside and play baseball on Holy
yeah.
Friday. It was it's supposed to be a very, very solemn day. You weren't mm-hmm. supposed to eat normally. It was supposed to be a day of fast. And you weren't supposed to listen to music. And you basically
yeah.
were not supposed to treat Good Friday like a vacation day. It was a day of rest and a vacation, but a day of meditation, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And then, of course,
right.
Saturday and then
yeah.
Sunday being the day of celebration. So that's kind of what I remember of Holy Week. Carmencita, what was your memory?
Well, I have to add to the Holy Week, it was also Lunes de Pascua, which is the Monday after, Easter Monday. That was usually, we didn't have school either that day,
okay.
so it was more than a week. That's what I remember. But as you said, you know, it was increasing in solemnity, and especially even since Thursday, we didn't hear any music. I remember that because, you know, as a young girl, you know, you always like to hear music. I was very happy girl, so it was very difficult not to hear any music. But then you realize, you know, that was part of the solemnity. That's one of the things that really shocked me more when I came here, you know, like on a Holy Friday, hear music and things like that. I remember before the Holy Week, we used to do retreats. I was in a nuns' school for 10 years, so you can imagine it was very, you know, we were prepared before during the Lent. So Holy Week started, the preparation started before the days before. And what I remember most vividly about the Holy Week probably was visiting the monuments, I don't know, monumentos we would call in Spanish. And that was in every church. They did all these flowers, and it was beautiful, no? So you used to visit all the churches you could visit. And I remember walking to my school because it was about 6 blocks away, and then which was Our Lady of Lourdes in La Vibra, Havana, and then walking to my brother's school, which was Los Maristas de La Vibra, and then going to my grandmother's church, you know, which was Los Pasionistas. And it was all walking distance, but it was, you know, several blocks. And I remember walking with my friends, you know, of course I was a teenager, and I remember walking with all my friends, and we were wearing our veils, or black veils. Now you don't even wear a veil anymore, so that's kind of something of the past, but that I remember very vividly.
Yeah.
So that was something I remember.
So there was
a lot
of tradition, I guess that's what I'm hearing in your presentation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tradition, a lot of things that, you know, we're very Catholic, I guess that would be the other way to explain it. Carmen, what about you? Now, you lived in Santa Clara, which is, for the listeners,
the central
that's,
city.
That's in the central part of the island. It's about maybe 30 or 40 miles from where my father's family is from, which is Sabana Grande, which is, I think, 30 or 40 miles away. What was it like in Santa Clara when you were a little girl and Semana Santa showed up on the calendar?
It was also a very devout time. I used to go to a Catholic school, Las Teresianas, and so the week before, it was also a week of it was the 40 days, but especially the week before before Holy Week, we would do meditations and readings. We would read the writings of Saint Teresa of Avila and her poetry and all that. And we would have on at least one day, and I'm not sure if it was even two, that we would do silent. We wouldn't talk all day. It was just a day of meditation, and there would be no talking allowed in the school all day. And then at the end of the day, they would tell us, there's no school next week, but remember, this is not a vacation. This is a time for Holy Week. And so during Holy Week, my mother would take us to the different churches, and then I remember going to all the churches in Santa Clara and doing the Via Crucis as soon as we got there. And there were a lot of people doing them, so it wasn't only us. And so it was also getting more religious by Holy Thursday. It was more devout, and then on Good Friday, we would have the Sermón de las Siete Palabras, a meditation on the seven last words, and probably a Via Crucis in the morning, and then we would get to the cathedral really early to get in position for the service, and then there would be a huge procession throughout the city. It was like they were doing the actual funeral for Jesus, and I remember they would have a life-size Christ inside of a glass sepulcher, and they would also have a life-size Virgin Mary and all that, and there would be the procession throughout the city, and it was very crowded. There was hardly room to walk, and that kind of thing. And then, but then on Saturday, I believe that Sábado Santo was taken at that time almost as if it was Easter itself. It was a time of celebration. It was no longer, you know, everything ended on, all the morning ended on Friday, and then there would be music and TV, because we were not allowed to watch TV or to listen to music or any of that. But on Saturday, I believe we did.
Yeah.
Until they changed that.
Yeah, what I remember, now, of course, I think the nuns were a little stricter than the brothers. I don't know. The nuns were very strict. But the brothers, we used to call them brothers. We went to Maristas, but in Havana, in Rancho Boyeros. And so it was a similar experience. We had a very solemn week. But as I remember growing up, a lot of what we did came from our parents. Our parents took it very seriously also. So, you know, we probably, I don't remember, I'm sure that my parents probably had instructions from the school as to what we were supposed to do, because I remember Good Friday being a very solemn day. In fact, Carmencita, you mentioned that when you came to the United States, you were a little surprised at the festivities, you know, around here, you know, the things were a little bit more casual. One of the things that my mom just absolutely couldn't believe was that they would play baseball on Good Friday. And I remember one year that the baseball season literally opened on Good Friday. And my mom sitting there saying, how can this be? How can they play baseball on Good Friday? I mean, and again, of course, some of that is the cultural difference. And also, I don't know if it's also a Catholic versus Protestant difference. I don't know. I don't know that. But all I do remember how solemn everything was in Cuba. And you're right, there was no radio. And if there was any radio, it was, you know, religious music, you know, very solemn. And people, I mean, the streets, like, for example, right now, Friday afternoon, about 3 o'clock Central Time, about this time, the streets were very quiet. The merchants would close. And everybody would basically be either at home or at church. Or like Carmen was saying, they would be in some type of a procession, you know. So it was just a very different celebration than what they do here. And, you know, I'm not saying one's better than the other, but it's a memory that we all have, you know, from our time in Cuba. Carmencita, is there anything, I hate to say that you were older, but you were. Is there anything?
No, I was.
You were, so I don't want you to get offended because I put that out. But you being 15, you probably remember a little bit more than Carmen and I, who were 12. But anything that, you know, we haven't said that you remember?
Well, one of the things, you know, with all this process, my parents were very strict, like all Cuban parents, especially if, for all girls. And I remember during that time, you know, there was plenty of, services. And I was allowed to go to my brother's school, which was a boys' school. So that was fun. I was a teenager, remember? So it was it was solemn, but at the same time, all the young people, you know, I was in that age where you like a boy or, you know, something like that, and you will see them there during the services. So I remember that part, but maybe you were too young for that.
Yeah, the girls usually didn't pay attention.
It was still very, very serious. But, you know, being a teenager, it's difficult to keep serious for too long.
Right.
But I think we were encouraged to keep it very solemn, you know. But even so, you know, when you're young, you're kind of don't realize. But as I said to you, it really shocked me when here in the United States when I saw the music and everything was so casual. And even now, it shocks me, you know. When,
right. No, I have the same reaction too. I mean, on Good Friday, I tend to be more, I can't do a lot of good. I mean, I have a hard time going to a party or something on Good Friday. All my instincts tell me that something is wrong. But I was going to say that, you know, I was 12 years old, and when you're 12 years old, a lot of girls don't pay attention to you. And the 15-year-old girls didn't pay attention to us. I mean, they treated us like their little brother. Yeah. Now, Carmen Valdivia, you have an amazing story and an amazing experience having come here on the Pedro Pan. Both Carmencita and Carmen came as Pedro Pan children, but Carmen actually lived in one of the camps in Miami and in Florida. And I would like to hear from you, Carmen, what it was like. What are some of your memories of what it was like to be in Holy Week in one of those camps, and what did the kids do, and the supervisors, and the nuns and the priest who were there with you? I'd be curious to know about that.
As long as we were in the camp, it was very similar to Cuba. And we were, they didn't make us go to any of these things, but they were available, and I guess we would follow whatever we had learned in our homes. I came from a very devout Catholic family, and so I kept on practicing the same things that my mother had taken us to in Cuba. You know, we would, but in the camp, they would do Via Crucis, and they would do spiritual retreats and confessions and all that before, you know, before Holy Thursday. And so I would do the same things. We had processions, and they would do the sermon also, the sermon. And so not everyone went to all these things, but I remember going, and I wouldn't miss one because, you know, the sky would fall if I didn't. And so I kept the same traditions that I had seen in Cuba. And maybe the procession was not as big, and the images were not as beautiful, but with whatever we had, we would walk through the camp, you know, and go around and come back and all that, and we would do the same type of procession that we had learned in Cuba. And I remember the girls that were closest to me, and we were two couple of sisters, you know, my sister and I and another two sisters, and we were all four of us very religious, and so we kept the same traditions, and we were always together and doing the same things that we had seen in Cuba.
Yeah, would you say that's also true of the boys? I mean, like the boys and the girls, would you do things together during that week?
Well, in my camp, we only had younger boys. Or at some point they got up to 14 years old, which was, of course, older than me. But and so there were many. The boys would be altar boys, altar servers. There were many boys that were very devout. And in the other camps also, Carmencita, I was looking at a magazine from Matecumbe today, and they had all the services. And some of the boys were even more devout. We have some friends that were very devout Catholics that you know, they everything that they wrote had Viva Cristo Rey arriba. On top, and so the boys were very devout also.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question, Carmen, about that period, because you have that experience that I didn't have. And Carmencita, even though she was Pedro Pan, she was with family right away.
Mm-hmm.
But did it help you emotionally during that week to focus so much on religion? I mean, you're away from your parents, obviously, and especially after the missile crisis. You know, maybe there was some hope before the missile crisis, but after the missile crisis, it became, as you know, very difficult for people to leave Cuba. So
it was all we had. You know, it was all we had. Faith.
That
church was always open, and we were always in front of the Our Lady of Charity, her image, praying to her. It was very important to us, and we would always be singing the choir. We would go to Mass every day, and it was very important that was offered to us
because
it really helped.
Yeah, it was a way of helping you cope with, you know, the separation from your parents.
Exactly.
Because I think it would, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I think most of you thought, or most of your parents probably thought, they'd be seeing you a lot sooner when they sent you.
Before the missile crisis, yes. They thought in a month or two, and then
it
turned out into 3 years.
That's right, exactly, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Carmencita, why don't you take a second and talk about some of the upcoming programs before we wrap up. If you could talk about some of the upcoming programs. I understand, Pedro Pan, you have elections coming up, so just take a minute.
Yeah, we have elections coming up on April 13th, and then on May 3rd we have a swearing-in ceremony, and that's a dinner party, and so the new board gets swearing in and you know, we get together and dance. It's a party, and then in June we have something very special. We're going to have a brunch at Camp Matecumbe. And by the way, you were asking before about the boys being religious or not. Yesterday I was looking through some pictures of Camp Matecumbe, which is where the older boys were, and we saw this picture of one of the boys, and there was like a statue of Santa Rosa de Lima, a saint, and he said he would go there to pray the rosary every day. A group of them did.
Right.
So they were very religious, the boys.
Well, that's all you had, really, at the time. I mean,
so the boys were encouraged, too, and they actually, I think many of them became very closer than they were in Cuba, because it was really very important, boys as much as girls, and I think that's important. Even to this day, Actually, we did an exhibit, and one of the things we exhibited was a plastic rosary that one of these boys, that now is, of course, he's a 60-something man now, he had kept this rosary, plastic rosary, all these 50-odd years from he was given this rosary at the camp.
Wow.
Matacumbe. So
that is,
that's how deeply you really held into your beliefs, and I think that was really something that helped us a lot.
I think so. I think it helped. I'm sure it helped not only the children who were over here, but I'm sure your parents back in Cuba. It was. I'm sure faith was also very important to them to cope with the separation. Well, I want to thank both of you ladies for joining me today, Carmencita Ramanach and Carmen Valdivia. Carmencita is president of the Pedro Pan operation, and Carmencita is with the historic committee. And both of these ladies are doing a fantastic job preserving the legacy and the great story of Pedro Pan, where 14,000 children came to this country over a two-year period. And just admirable what you ladies are doing to preserve that legacy. Both of you have a wonderful Good Friday, and I look forward to chatting with you sometime in the future. So happy Good Friday, and we'll talk again, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank
Carmen Valdivia and Carmencita Romanash of Florida. Thank you, ladies, so much for being my guest today. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be closing. I got a closing commentary after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and I hope all of you have a good Friday. And I thought it was important today, as we've been talking recently about Cuba and doing shows about Cuba and doing some shows about Pedro Pan children, I thought it would be important today to reminisce about some of our memories growing up in Cuba. As both ladies were saying, Carmencita and Carmen were saying, that it was a very solemn week. You know, I think that we were very traditional in our upbringing. I certainly was. And I remember Holy Week as being a time when, you know, you were supposed to meditate and pray, and Holy Friday or Good Friday, Viernes Santo, as we used to call it, was also at a very important date for us that week. And, of course, all of it culminating on Sunday, being Easter Sunday, of course, the day that Christ rose from the dead. And then, of course, Carmencita just told me something that I had totally forgotten, that we had a day off from school on Monday. That's right, Monday was also a day off from school, but it was supposed to be not a vacation day. It was supposed to be a meditation day. But I do think it's extremely important for us to remember these things and to pass them on to our children so that our kids who've grown up here, who are obviously American citizens and people who are Americans first, obviously, so that they at least remember their roots. It's extremely important, I think, for kids to remember their roots. And I think it's extremely important for us parents, and perhaps someday as grandparents, to make sure that our kids and someday our grandchildren know exactly where we came from, why we came, and the story behind our trip. Well, everybody have a wonderful Good Friday. I'm sure many of you will be going to masses or services tonight. I wish you the best with your family. And we're going to reconnect on Sunday night with my good friend Bill Katz of Urgent Agenda. We'll get back into the political discussion on Sunday. Happy Friday. Happy Good Friday to all of you, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.